Hello and welcome to the Edge of the Box Football Podcast, the show where we aim to challenge football convention with thought-provoking and outside-of-the-box points of view. Today is part two of a new series we're running where we look at the very brightest young sparks around the globe and decide together who we think will go on to become the very best in their position in a few years' time. Now, last time we did goalkeepers, and today it's the turn of centre-backs. I'm your host, Harry Brent. Right, part two of our new segment where we examine positions over the football pitch and pick the best young player or young players who are going to be coming through. We're just basically going to have a sort of conversation about it. We can pick a little one, two, three, you know, personal one, two, three of who we think is going to be the next big thing. And we're sort of doing a rule where they've got to be under 23. But we did goalkeepers last time, and we can't claim to have that amazing a knowledge of goalkeepers around the world. So we extended that to under 24, I think. But we're doing centre-backs this week, and I think there's enough there that we can say we'll do it under 23. Now, there is one person I will before I go into discussion, open the discussion, there is one person who I've picked in my list who turned 23 a couple of days ago, but...
I think I've just Googled the same one, Hans.
But when we planned to do this, he was 22. So I'm going to keep...
I say 23 and under.
Yeah, we can do the thing like the Young Player of the Year does, where it's like, providing your... I think they do under 23 as well. Providing you're under 23 at like the start of the season or whatever, then it's fine. So who would like to begin?
I'll start.
Go on.
Yeah,
I don't know if me and Eggby have gone for the same people. That's my...
I've got a number three. So the way that I've envisioned it is that who are going to be the best players in their positions in the future. That's the kind that you had. Yeah. So I've got in third place, Diamande from Sporting Lisbon.
Osmani Diamande, yeah.
He's just an absolute unit. Two-footed, great on the ball, quick, strong, great area. He has it all. Second is Antonio Silva.
That's by two.
And first, who I think is the one that you checked, has Saliba.
Yeah, it's surprising I is one of those names that I assumed I'd Google. I knew he's young, but I thought he'll be 23, 24. But yeah, just turned 23 at the time of recording. Yeah.
This is William Saliba, yes?
Yes. Barry Saliba. The William, yeah.
Right, so, I mean, I'll go now, right? Because mine are...
Who are yours, out of interest?
Mine are Antonio Silva.
Oh, interesting.
And Diamande. Yeah. So Diamande, obviously, what is he, 6 foot three? Absolutely massive, so physical.
Yeah.
So good on the ball. He can dribble with the ball. He can pass a ball. He's absolute complete ball-playing defender, I'd say.
Yeah.
I'd probably have him a bit above Antonio Silva, if I'm honest with you.
I was thinking that. I would have, just because of his two-footed as well. I think he's got a bit more pace as well.
Yeah, exactly. He's a bit more physical. I'd say Antonio Silva's probably more well-rounded, but... As a physical presence in the back, you'll probably want to have Diamande there instead. But I mean, both of them look phenomenal. I think Antonio Silva was 19, 20. He played like 80 games for his club.
It's like the next Ruben Diaz, isn't
he? Yeah, so he played 44 last season. He's played 40 of this season. The two seasons in a row, he's played 40 plus games, and then he's played 21 this season. So probably over 100 appearances for his club. At the age of 19, 20. And that's in the first team of Benfica, I believe. You know, really big club. And then, obviously, on the other side of the other side of the league, you've got Diamande there, who's, you know, putting in all these minutes and performances. Probably not got as much first-team experience under his belt, but also looks to be such a fantastic player as well.
Mm. We played them last year in the Europa League, and he was just... imperious. He was so good. I wonder, as a bit of a side note, where do you think they'll end up?
I think one of them have got City.
Jeez. Yeah. As depressing as that is, yeah, you're probably not wrong.
Yeah. I think Dame and there to City, if one as well.
Christ.
I've seen then, Arsenal are heavily linked with Diomande, aren't they?
I absolutely know.
Diomande and Saliba at the back would be rather formidable. I mean, again, with all these sort of things, there's question marks in the sense that you never know what the future holds for these people. Yeah. They always look very, very like tempting and faultless when they're sort of at a club before the big club. Do you know what I mean? Like, for example, this time last year, we'd have had Josko Gvardiol at the very top of this list. Everyone would have said him.
And he's not really set the world alight.
Neither of you have said him, even though he's, you know, he's sort of less prominent in City's team. Ro, who, the face of a man who looks like he's been frantically Googling.
Sorry, yes, I have.
Who have you gone for, or do you still want?
I'm quite interested. I'm quite surprised and relieved that a player that I actually mentioned way back when as a possible, you know, when we did 3-3,
he's under 23.
Scalvini.
Yeah, Scalvini.
Scalvini. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pleasantly surprised that he's, you know, he's at least doing me a favour right now.
He was an honourable mention on mine, but
how old is he?
20.
Yeah, 20.
I probably wouldn't have him anywhere near Silver or Diomande, when I swear.
Like I said, I think when way back when I was looking into obviously 3-3, I think he was a lot cheaper than what he's valued at the moment in time. It's valued at 45 million euros. But I can safely say, like, obviously from the two that you've said before are very like strong contenders that look like they are going to set the world alight. However, like I said, Saliba, he's only just turned 23. Guardiola is 22. Colwell is 21. Mickey van der Ven
is 22.
Yeah, like there's quite a lot already in the Premier League and getting a lot of first team experience as well. So
what are your thoughts on Gvardiol, Roy? What have you thought made of him in his first season?
Well, I think at times because obviously when he was at Leipzig. When he was at Leipzig, he was very much like one of the star performances, and he played in week in, week out. And I feel like it's kind of like that imposter syndrome at times when you're amongst a team full of stars, you don't get to, especially like in, you know, in the Pep side, you're not guaranteed to get minutes. And I think whenever he's on the pitch, he's desperately trying to get like everyone's kind of he's trying to get everyone to basically appreciate everything that he does, and he kind of overdoes it at times, and sometimes he creates his own mistakes, which you can understand why, because obviously he's young, he's still wanting to impress, and he's still wanting to get regular game time. But I do think he has definitely struggled at times at City. When I say struggle, it's not like in comparison to how other defenders have struggled with other clubs. It's like minor kind of struggles, I would say. I think it's more of a sense that he's trying to assert himself amongst the squad, and whilst doing that, he's sometimes, you know, he's a bit of a, you know, it's like a double-edged sword. He's trying his hardest, but it's kind of coming back and getting him.
There's a sort of not well-known scout that I follow, who does sort of, you know, the occasional reports on players, usually over the summer, and he did a big one on Gvardiol like this time last year before he moved, and he, you know, he was waxing lyrical about him, but the main thing he said was there's quite a bit of a red, not a red flag, but like he said, there's a bit of a problem in the sense that there's Rose touched upon there, like he is error prone, is probably a bit strong, but like he gets into positions where he could make errors. And my diagnosis of the time he's had at City at the moment is maybe quite, because he's obviously super talented and perfect for the kind, you know, so sort of technical, very sound, all that sort of stuff, good, you know, athleticism, perfect for City in so many ways. I get the impression that Guardiola is just trying to ease him in a little bit and probably trying to, you know, do a bit of, for want of a better word, brainwashing on him, you know, just sort of get the chinks out of him and stuff. So, but I just thought it was interesting because obviously you see clips of him for Leipzig and obviously seeing him at the World Cup and you sort of think like, where are these mistakes? But this guy was quite, he's hammering home. It's like, there is quite a few mistakes in him as good as everything else is. So I just wonder whether that's what's going on.
I feel like these other clubs, well, sorry, the other teams before Manchester City, he was more of a player that was one that you could rely on more often than others. So I think at the times he was kind of mopping up for others' mistakes, which kind of made him shine even better, or even brighter, sorry. Whereas now, when you're in a squad where Pep's always on about perfection and doing things a particular way, these kind of nooks and crannies are coming out a little bit more into the open. So,
who do you think will be the best centre-back in the world, Ro? Because ultimately, I think
at the moment, the person that seems to have the most, is like the complete package at the moment, is Saliba. It's just whether or not he can maintain it and somehow get even more kind of prolific with the role of a centre-back.
I'm just going to say that I've never seen a pair of hamstrings work so hard as Mickey van der Ven's. to be fair, no, I do want to make a case for van der Ven, right? Because I think if he was playing like how he's playing at Spurs, but he was still at Wolfsburg, I feel like he would be in everyone's list, right?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, so I think a lot of this, like Saliba, like van der Ven, like Guardiola, like Harry said, we're making this list this time last year. These names will still be in there. It feels like because they've come to the Premier League and we're already kind of used to them and kind of see them regularly, they're kind of like to the back of our minds already and thinking, what about this? But I think definitely Saliba's got to be in for a shout. Like Mickey van der Ven's definitely got to be in with a shout because he's so good.
Who do you think will have the more successful career, Guardiola or van der Ven?
Well, Guardiola's at Man City, isn't he? So.
I guess, will he remain at Man City, though?
It depends on that. It's very much a case of how his second and third season goes. Like I say, I think with a lot of players...
If Pep leaves in 2 years' time,
I'd say who's more important to their team, right? For the fees that were paid, because I'd say Guardiola is not important to Man City's team too much, right? I'd say that they have other options. They aren't reliant upon him for their style of play. Where Mickey van der Ven, he is completely pivotal to everything we do, right? We can't have that high line if we don't have Mickey van der Ven with that recovery pace to kind of account for it.
Because if we don't have... If you swapped Guardiola and van der Ven, would Guardiola be even more important at Tottenham than van der Ven is?
I don't think so. I think van der Ven's characteristics and his kind of the way he plays is more impactful than if we just had a really good centre-back. Because I think van der Ven is a bit more specialist than Guardiola. He is probably one of the fastest players I've ever seen. For a big lump, he's very, very good.
I've seen him a few times, and I'm like,
guys, if you think you're getting away, that one, that's fun. But he's so quick, like, and he's so calm, like, it's like,
he's got, I remember that when we were watching an old fashioned bloke, doesn't he, as well? Like, he's obviously technical, but he can fucking hit you if he needs.
He can. But I mean, I think I was watching us against Villa, right? And you know, a few balls going in behind. And I'm sat there watching it, and I'm not even worried.
What do you think he needs to improve on?
Van der Ven? Hamstrings. Hamstrings, literally that, because he's very good in the air, very tall, he's very strong. He's very good at tackling, very clean tackler. You know, he can put a slide tackle in, he can nick a ball from you, he's got that recovery pace already. I think he is a full package, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, I must say I'm a big fan of van der Ven. I've got, it's funny we ended up talking about Guardiola versus van der Ven because they're tied for number three spot on my list. I still think this
Guardiola's ceiling seems a little bit higher, but maybe that's just because of the team he's in. I think there is a case to say that Van de Ven is, or certainly could be, the full package defender. I really do like him. But yeah, injuries could fuck him, but you know.
I mean, he's had two hamstring injuries this season, right?
Yeah.
And whether that's due to the way we play or how much we're asking of him in terms of tracking back, I'm not sure, but
who's your second, Taz?
Diamande. Though I think, to be fair, the way I did this list, I didn't actually think in my head who's going to be, because if I was going to do that, I might put Diamande top. Saliba was my number one. Mm. But the reason I went for Saliba at the top, and again, this is probably slightly diverting away from the reasons why we're doing this, is because I looked at everybody on that list and I thought, you are potential, whereas Saliba is the fucking real deal already. He's 20, yeah. 23 now, but 22 basically. Mm. You know, you just don't... You don't look at him and go, oh yeah, no, he'll be amazing in a few years. He's already amazing, but he'll be even better. Like, you just think, right, he's already at that level.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, there's it's already been said at the very start, but there's a very ear twitching with Diamande. Just, you know,
he could be
calm, intelligent, just really good, sort of technically, physically. I would.
I'll say this. I think if we're talking about who has the most potential, I think it's Diamande.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
If they can actually reach that potential, yeah, I think I'll have Diamande up there, number one.
But as I say, yeah, Van de Ven ain't far behind for me. I really like him.
Who's the best pairing in the centre back? In the league,
Debra and Gabriel,
come on.
Gabriel
doesn't lace up Romero's boots.
What about Dragosin?
Romero is fantastic.
No, he's not.
What about Dragosin is 22. Didn't mention him.
We'll get on to Dragosin. What's everyone else? Romero, Gabriel. Come on.
Absolute Gabriel.
Let me get some popcorn sorted first. I want to see what happens between you two.
Gabriel has arguably been better than Saliba this year.
I would disagree with that.
You're a lot of Arsenal fans.
But Gabriel's is that form? Is that form, or is that like, oh, they're at the same level quality wise?
I think it's more they're definitely not the same. I think Saliba gets all the plaudits because of how he's a very classy, plays like a Rolls Royce type player. But Gabriel's just a great aggressor. He's left footed. He's got good pace, strength, good in the air. Gets a lot of goals from set pieces as well. I think he scored the most goals for a defender in the past like 2-3 years. Or something like that.
Great in the early 2000s.
Maybe that's
a good, you know, partnership then.
They one complement
that,
each
one
other.
That you won't need to add to, so I wouldn't bother getting Diamande in the summer personally.
No,
I'd let other clubs.
Well, Chelsea have been linked with him, haven't they? For like a Thiago Silva
replacement. Yeah, but Egby, Diamande comes in. Who's he replacing? So that's Saliba.
Ben White.
I think that's the thing. I think with Diamande, because he has played right back, strangely enough.
Ben White.
I just think Arsenal just needs to get to that point where, like we all do on Football Manager, with like two quality players in each position. And I think rotation, I think as good as Saliba is, no one should be guaranteed. Your form should dictate your
place in the team. I agree with that, but do you not think centre back is kind of the one place where you want just two centre-backs playing every week and basically every game?
I think it depends on your centre-backs. Like someone
also depends on injuries as well.
That's what I was going to say. With someone like Mickey van der Ven with Tottenham, you probably would need an extra centre-back, maybe, just to cover, just in case. But I think with Arsenal, that Arteta wants it, and I guess Pep does it as well, where the centre-backs aren't always guaranteed. You want them to be settled, but you want them to know if you play poorly, you're out of the team.
Mm.
You're held accountable.
Mm.
Romero's better than Gabriel.
He's not.
He definitely is.
No, he's not.
He definitely.
Based on this season alone,
Gabriel doesn't get as many yellow cards and red cards.
What's Romero done this season?
He's got a few red cards, hasn't he?
He's got one. I think was
Gabriel's got none.
I think that was a bit arguable, if I'm honest with you, against Chelsea. He was just kicking a ball.
I don't know.
I think he's been given the vice captaincy. He's been given the vice captaincy in the summer.
Gabriel.
He's been given the vice captaincy. That has very much chilled him out and mellowed him out. He didn't even commit a foul for the first 8 games of the season until he got the red card against Chelsea. Oh,
Gabriel.
He's calmed down. He's better on the ball. He's better at tackling. He's better at driving into midfield.
I don't think managers like Pep would have Romero in their team.
Why?
He's rashness.
I don't think he's that rash. I think that's a weird...
Could he discipline him? You know, could he...
Would you want to? Mourinho, someone like Mourinho would be fantastic.
Is he a modern-day Ramos? If you could find a way to make...
And is he that good on the ball as well?
Yeah, Romero's fantastic.
That modern-day centre-back.
Yes, Romero is 100% fantastic on the ball. He will drive into midfield. He will dribble into midfield from defence, and he will play. He has this ability to just thread a ball through about 4 players. He does it so often.
He's not average for me, but I think I'd always...
He's one of our most progressive bastards.
He doesn't do it for me. Maybe he's just a clear Arsenal bias, but Gabriel, I think he's criminally underrated.
I'm probably going to clear off the top bias on the Gabriel side, if I'm honest with you, while we're being honest.
There are some good defensive duos at the moment, though. Obviously, Romero and Van de Ven, Gabriel, Saliba, Diaz, Stones, or Guardiola, whoever you want.
It's just seize defense.
Any of them, any pick of any five of them.
Take your pick.
Obviously, Van Dijk, and I know Matip's been injured, but like Van Dijk and
Bernardo.
Well, Gomez has done pretty well, I think, for Liverpool.
Way more like centre.
He's been good partnership.
You know, I think an underrated one that probably has been broken up now because of injuries, but Shaw and Botman.
Yeah,
that was a decent one for a while.
Yeah,
always. Yeah, very so like reliably solid.
Right on, groundbreaking, but
is
solid.
Van de Ven broken into the Dutch squad now?
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah,
I saw a funny stat today. For the first time, it was like in the first time in however many years the Dutch squad consists of no players that come from Ajax.
Oh yeah!
Wow.
Yeah,
and then the top comment was, why the hell do we have Henderson in the England squad then?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, we did get a call up for their international team for the first time. I want to give some shout out to. He's Vicario.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he's never had any kind of Italy call up, be that in the under-19s, under-21s, nothing. And because of his form this season, he was Italy's number one. In the recent friendlies.
Thoroughly deserved. He's had a really good season.
Thoroughly deserved.
He's very much the Toldo to Donnarumma's Buffon. That's not an insult. Toldo was class. They just couldn't get... Well, he did actually get lots of games for Italy, but there was like a period, yeah, where they had Buffon. Like, Toldo was like... I don't know if you guys remember Toldo, but he was... Maybe just south of world class, but like a really top keeper. But it was just second. I suppose it's like Edison and Allison, basically. That's a better way of saying it.
Were there any other honourable mentions for centre-back?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I was going to run the list for you. So no one obviously mentioned Jared Braithwaite.
Jared.
Big J. JB.
Big JB.
JB. Yeah.
Gonçalo Inácio. So obviously you've got Diomande, and then Inácio on the other side. So they're just littered with.
But then again, you'd say Diomande is probably the more in demand one of those two.
Yeah, and higher ceiling and blah.
Lisbon have got a few players. They've got that Jokeres guy as well who looks.
Yeah, I don't like him. We've been through this, but I don't like him. I think we've been through this.
Maybe.
He had a terrible attitude on Football Manager, couldn't he?
Oh, yeah. Nacio, yeah. Scalvini.
Yeah, but something about that, I don't know whether it's just due to their sort of links to South America. Those Portugal clubs just have an insane record of just bringing in like really, like all the, half of the Europe's top players seem to go through Sporting, Porto, or Benfica, I swear, at some point.
I'd argue they're the fifth best league in Europe.
Yeah. And the other one, Levi Colwill, I know it's not been a great season for him or Chelsea, but I still think the ceiling's very high with him. I put him below the other three or four that I've mentioned, but if Branthwaite's getting a mention, then Colwill gets a mention.
There's a few that I've had. Yep. Lenny Yoro from Lille.
I don't know him.
Linked with Real Madrid. 6'4". Quite a skinny, languid guy.
That's just reminded me of the like the 15-year-old or 16-year-old Croatian geezer that Tottenham bought.
Yeah.
Now I've only seen clips of him playing in
Luka Vucevic.
Yeah, I've only seen him playing in like grassroots, but he looks fucking good.
He looks really good. I don't know enough about him to put him in the list, but he looks.
I don't know whether it's Ange inspired or whether like my memory is recent, did this sort of start happening. It just feels like in the last year, Tottenham's scouting has just seems to be a lot better, or at the very least, their recruitment has gone like right. Like every player I see Tottenham linked with, I go, not only is that smart, I go, fuck me, I want Chelsea to get him. So I just
feel like the players under 21 that you've been linked with.
Bergvall. Obviously Vucevic. But Vucevic was like last year. It was over a year ago now.
Was it? No. Well, it only got confirmed. Certainly got confirmed in the last like 3-4 months. They might have done it before, but I swear.
No, it was confirmed about 18 months ago. Really? When he was 16. Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, yeah, we got that over the line when he was 16.
Right.
And the other one was Jarell Hatto from Ajax.
Mm.
I think he
17,
18, yeah. Captained Ajax, I think, a few months ago in Europa League. Yeah, he looks very, very good. Very just classic Ajax player.
Following in the
great mold. Yeah.
So they could have him, De Ligt, Van de Ven, Van Dijk. That Man City.
No Yuri and Timber? Anyone?
It's hard to say. I think it'll be interesting to see how he comes back. I'd love the look of him when in the very few games that he played, but I don't want to put any pressure on him. I think just let him come back, let him try and get back to football. And
sure, he'll appreciate that.
Yeah. So yeah, but no, love the look of him.
Yeah.
Was there anyone else? No, yeah. But yeah, Lenny Yoro was quite another French centre back. He's been doing great things, yeah.
Another French, surprisingly few Frenchmen on this list given the last like 15 years.
I mean, I had another name on the list, but God knows where he is. Wesley Fofana.
Yeah, well, I was again going to mention him, but I think he's 23 now.
He's 25, the amount.
I think. I do think he would be close to consider. I really did rate him prior to his move to Chelsea, and I still rate him. I do think he's fucked. Like, I think he will struggle to. Like, he's done the same injury twice, I think he's done the same injury three times, but to two different legs, and
Jesus.
It's kept him out both on all three occasions for a year. And I just think you don't come back from that shit. Like, he's done.
23 years old. He's been injured for 11 of them.
Yeah.
is any word of what's going on with him? His rehabilitation? Any word of
it? Well, he was done in pre-season, and immediately they said he's out for the whole season. So he won't be back. I would be very surprised if you saw him in this coming pre-season. Just because I don't think they'd want to risk it. Latest I hear is it would probably be like September, October, and they might even push it further back just to be sure, given how reckless our injury record has been. So, yeah, I think if for some reason it just turns out to be coincidence and those two things have happened, then whatever. But I mean, he could come back because he is very talented. I don't think he'll be the best defender in the world, but he'll be very good.
Funny has just not as a criticism, but you say you know he's done the same injury a few times, pretty much done for him, right? But would you stand on Reece James?
What as in like?
Is it as in that statement for like you could definitely apply that to Reece James?
I think when he comes back from this one, he's had I think we've gone into this before. He's been putting off surgery in order to make himself available. He's now had surgery because it's obviously not worked. If he re-injures whatever he's having surgery on, then he's done. And that, for me, is madness. Like, just the potential in that guy that is so unbelievably all-rounded. And this is what, like, I don't know if you've noticed, like, because Malagusto's having, like, a good season.
Yeah, Malagusto's all right.
Could even say he's been something of a revelation. I can't be joyous about it. Because if Reece James is there, and not only is he a lot better, but he's just the in so many, like, I think there was a sort of stat earlier this week saying Reece James has made, in terms of chances created, I think he's second or third on the list for Chelsea players this season. And he's played about 5 games. He's just insane.
If Bayern or Madrid came in with a bid of like 80 mil, 80 to 100 mil in some aspects,
you'd have to take it, wouldn't you?
I mean, again, I just because of it, like, it's about like sort of
pure profit,
loyalty and sentiment at this point. I wouldn't, but I think obviously if you rejected it and then he got injured again, then you look stupid. But I just think as well, not quite to the same height, but I view it in the same way to Kante. I just sort of think like, what's the point in? I don't really see why we got rid of Kante other than for wages reasons. But even if you got a bloke whose injury record is crap, but if he's that good, then who cares? Just keep him around for 10 games or whatever.
He's getting to that point with Reece James where it's just,
but yeah, one player can get you 15, 16 points.
And particularly for a right back, like he's just so influential all over, across the pitch. As I say, the small optimism is that the injuries keep recurring because he's not had surgery yet. So this is the big one. I think there's a chance that he'll be fine. Like, unlike Fofana, I doubt Fofana will come back. There's a chance Reece James will be okay. But if he injures it again after he comes back, then I believe he is fucked. Sadly. Jeez. Yeah, so the consensus was, I feels like Diomande and maybe Saliba.
Yeah.
Maybe Van de Ven.
Yeah.
You're like Diomande, Saliba, Van de Ven. That's the impression I was getting. Or maybe Antonio Silva, I don't know.
Yeah, no. I'd say Diomande or Silva. If I had to choose one of them.
Mm. Yeah, cool. Nice.
Who do you think Chelsea replaced Thiago Silva with us?
I think there'll be a big push for Diomande that I keep seeing the links. Any of these guys on this list will probably do. I think they've made it clear. I mean, funny enough, I was talking this down before, but it seems that Chelsea have made it clear that they want two good centre backs in both positions. Because you've got, I know you may not think much of one or both of these guys, but Colwell and Badiashile on the left, and then Fofana if he's fit. That's another one.
The cheats actually even mention that.
Technically, he will be available next season. But I just don't. Yeah, I don't. And to be honest,
next season,
I think the fact that there's all these reports that Chelsea are going after a centre back, I think it's because they've realised this as well.
Oh, you got De Sassi as well,
don't you? De Sassi, yeah, there we go. I knew I was missing somebody. Yeah, because of that, we've already got... I mean, De Sassi's not amazing, but, like, if you've already got that amount of players, that amount of, like, technically, you know, should be good quality centre-backs, don't go after another one unless you think one of them is fucked.
Just on that, Dragson's probably very good also, because we didn't bring up Dragson. Probably very good. He's probably a step below the other names on the list.
Yeah, I think that's quite a nice balance. Like, you've got two starters who you know are starters, and then if one goes out, you've got a player who's not going to be whinging that he's not starting every game, but is of good quality.
But is also not like Eric Dyer or Davinson Sanchez.
Yeah. Eric Dyer. So England lost to Brazil, just about drew with Belgium. Both performances were drab. Should we be bothered? And what do you make of the whole situation going into the Euros?
I think we had a few players out. I wouldn't say we've had as many players out as Gareth Southgate seems to imply.
Yeah, who was it? Kane and Saka and...
Kane and Saka. That's it,
yeah,
pretty much. In terms of like, nailed on first start. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, Kane, best England player. Yeah, that's him and Bellingham up there. Saka is, you know, probably our best choice winger we've got at the minute as well. But I don't think that's an excuse we should be using that we've got, you know, a reduced squad. Because I think Brazil made like 16 debutants in this, you know, recent...
Yeah, Brazil had Neymar, Alisson, Edison, yeah. Casemiro... Gabriel Jesus, Gabriel Martin, they had loads of people out.
Were you guys impressed with Brazil?
Not that impressed.
Nah, I thought we were a bit better than them.
Yeah, and I think, does that make it worse? They weren't impressive. And
no, I was happy Endrick got his goal with last year.
Yeah, he scored again, didn't he?
Yeah, that the goal against Spain was a lot better, to be fair.
I tell you, that Lamine Yamal looks really good for Spain.
Guys, I'm giving away the under the under 23s for the wingers next episode.
there's a bit of a sort of get the impressions, particularly given when you look back at history, because I remember we had this exact same thing heading into the 2022 World Cup where the warm-up games were crap. And everyone was like, oh, Southgate's got to go. And then by the time we got to the tournament, it started, you know.
Yeah.
So they turned it on slightly. It feels a little bit like this is like pre-season games. You don't necessarily judge them. That being said, we have a far stronger squad and team, arguably, than both of those teams that we played. And to sort of not look better than them,
I think is
worrying.
Especially when these are, you know, probably up. Some of our last games before the actual Euros as well. Yeah. And the competitive games against teams, you know, big teams, decent teams, and we've not turned up.
You've got 200 million pound midfielders, you know, Phil Foden, who's worth that. Whoever else we, you know.
Ivan Toney, apparently 80 million.
Do you not think they're saving themselves for the latter stages of football? So those 200
all those players have everything to prove. Like, they've got no reason to not try. They're all competing for places, not only in the team, but
do you really think Jude Bellingham and Declan Rice are competing for places in the England squad?
Surely. Well, I think that they're motivated people who are not going to phone in a friendly. That's for sure. Like, granted, yes, the level of performance is not going to be at the very same level as they put in a World Cup final. But I don't believe they were just. I can't be asked for this. Let's just get back to London or whatever. Or
they're not pointless. I get why, but you know what Declan Rice can do. You know what Bellingham can do. I thought this would be an opportunity for him to play a lot of people who are on the periphery of the squad.
I think we would have been past that. I think you would have gone past that last set of friendly.
Yeah, you should have.
I think this is what I want to be testing. This is what I want to be doing going into the Euros. I want to have Jude Bellingham, Rice, and use all these players and play.
You'd want to do it now, than gamble it with any of the group stages or the knockout stages. You can't be going into a tournament still thinking, "Oh, I've not tried this yet." You want to be eradicating any sort of doubt, any sort of methods that you haven't tried and tested just yet. You can't risk it, especially when you've got a squad that I think arguably is more talented and younger and possibly even more hungry to prove themselves wrong. But, like, there was, I think there's a, I can't remember the name of it, it's called Rory. He's a, he comes up every now and again on.
Yeah, Rory, the bloody.
Chelsea.
I think I know what you're gonna say. Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, I don't agree with a lot of things that he says. Like, he says a few controversial things, and he's on the fence on quite a bit. But there was one thing that he said, and then it's kind of gone somewhat viral. Another kind of sports accounts have kind of gone, oh yeah, he's got a point. And it's about that Southgate has only managed to get 4 wins out of 26 games that they've faced teams in the top 10 FIFA rankings, which is poor.
Pathetic.
For a team like England, when you look at it and you think there is talent almost everywhere on the pitch, and even if the main person's injured, the person 9 times out of 10 is the replacement, isn't much different or can give you a different outlet.
I would arguably say, if you look at our team sheet on paper, we have the best team, best international team in the world.
I'd say it's up there in top three.
I'd say it's the best. Better than France's.
I agree. I think there's obviously this taboo that we have in England where for decades and decades we've always overrated ourselves. But in previous times when we've perhaps overrated ourselves, other nations have had really strong squads. I don't think you can say that about it. I mean, France will obviously have a kind of default level, but like there's no more Kante, there's no more Pogba. Griezmann's not what he was. Giroud is pushing 40.
Is their starting striker.
Yeah, they're not nearly as strong as they were 8-6 years ago. Or, you know, whatever, the 2018 World Cup, 20 like Euros, all that sort of stuff. Like, they're not in the same caliber. Whereas we have not only got attacking options in abundance, we've also now got arguably, you know, two of the best centre mids in the world. And we're no longer bloody shy in defence, or at the very least, no longer that defence is not like a liability. We've got like John Stones is playing really well. We've got some really, you know, got all the right backs you'll ever need. I agree, Dave. Like, there is a little bit of like, well, hang on, but like, by all means, I'll send it to the group. It's not particularly great, but like, I'm just talking in my column that's going on Friday about specifically this, like. We need to stop making excuses for, we shouldn't really expect to do well. Yes, we fucking should. Look at all the players we have. Like, here's a question, Dave. With Arteta as England boss, do you think they'd win the Euros?
I think if he could perfect his style of play in the limited time he gets with the players, yes.
I have a question of a similar vein then. Say that Arteta is managing that England squad in the Premier League. How do they do? I think they walk it.
I was weirdly thinking
as well, yeah.
I think they completely walk it. So I think it's not about the players. I think it's about the manager. And yes, he's done all this fantastic stuff about the culture of the England national team when they're there. He's done all this fantastic stuff with the media, and you know, suddenly everyone's loving England. They're loving being an England fan, right? But we're the favourites for pretty much every major tournament that comes up, and we're not performing out here. We're sitting off.
We've got to a semi final. But
we're the favourites. We should have at least won. And
crucially, we have failed to beat every decent team we've come up against.
Yes.
Germany is the only team that you can go, oh, we beat them. And they have been, and this is something Rory mentioned, they've gone out in the group stage of the World Cup in 2018. They've gone out in the group stage of the World Cup in 2022. I know they've got Nagelsmann and they look all right now, but Germany, particularly when we played them, were the worst they've been in decades. That's the one thing we can hold up and go, that was a good win. Who else have we beaten? Colombia.
Panama.
Denmark. Panama,
Sweden.
Iran, Sweden. Lost to Italy on penalties, despite the fact Italy were on paper very weak. Got beaten by, again, Croatia, who are getting a lot of credit, but again, on paper, take even with Modric, no way should they have beaten us on paper, at least. Who else did we lose to?
We should have won
France. Yeah, that France team was again strong squad, but not
as strong as it has been.
I think if you did a composite 11, I think there'd be more England players in it.
Jesus.
And they certainly would be now, given how far
I don't think we'd have beaten that France team. It's all hypothetical. We definitely should have beaten Croatia, 100%, and we should have beaten Italy. But I'm not sure if we would have beaten that France team.
But again, is that because France didn't look great in that game? I don't think we'd have beaten Argentina in the final, but because they were a good team rather than a good set of players. We are an amazing set of players, but not a great team. And I think that's
always been our curse.
Yeah, and you could exactly. So, you know, and Ash has touched upon it. Southgate deserves endless credit for various aspects of the job, but he's not getting the best out of an incredible group of players.
But he's a football manager.
Yeah.
Not Pickford's okay. If we go through the team, Pickford's okay. He's not special.
Despite Everton and their current standings, he's done fantastic this season, I think.
I really like Pickford.
He's surprised me a lot. He's been very, very mature this season.
Do you have him in the top 10 goalkeepers for international keepers at start?
I mean, when you look at the other competition, I'd probably say, yeah.
To play devil's advocate, Pickford is not amazing, but he's not a weakness either.
He's all right.
I don't think he's ever had a bad game for England.
But yeah, keep going, Dave.
He's all right. Right back, yeah, Kyle Walker, quality.
Kyle Walker, Reece James, Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Reece James.
Who's the other one?
Tino Livramento.
Trippier.
Yeah, Trippier, exactly. Yeah, we're set for right backs.
Yeah.
I mean, centre backs, John Stones, yeah. Maguire, sort of similar to Pivot, not done badly for England, but he's someone that you probably would target if you're the opposition.
Bonser, Braithwaite.
That's the one that's the second centre back slot, which is yet to be properly like filled by somebody really good. And I think left back's still a bit of a question. Someone
that good to fill it?
Well, you can say if Braithwaite or Colwill come through, we don't have anyone right now who you can go, yep, they'll be solid. But I think there's a lot of potential there. And Maguire again has performed well for England. So it's again,
John
I would.
Stones is 29, so he's not. Yeah. What 30, so got only a few more tournaments, maybe one or two. And left back,
that's the area we're struggling. I think left back.
Shaw.
But Shaw's not fit. Chilwell, first game.
I wouldn't say it's a weak point. I would say other teams have weak points.
Well, I think as a weak point, that is England's Achilles heel.
Compared to how stats we are for right back.
Yeah, I think you've got Shaw, who's getting on a bit, as well as obviously fighting injuries, and then you've got Chilwell, who's coming back from injuries quite often. Yeah. And in the first game, Jesus Christ, he couldn't put a cross in to save his life. I could have closed my eyes and hit it with my left foot and probably done better.
I mean, then you go into midfield, obviously Declan Rice.
And you're stacked. You're absolutely stacked. Yeah. Jude, who should
play alongside them? Who's that third midfielder?
James Maddison.
Maddison or Foden, maybe.
Colby Maynou.
No, Maynou.
I don't hate him.
I only say this, because, not necessarily because everyone's ranting and raving about him, but I think you don't want to create an extra Rice. That's very unbalanced, because Bellingham is going to
get
forward. And Rice is forward.
You need chicken next to the Rice.
Because chicken runs. Rice and chicken
would you,
run.
Would you have Rice actually more advanced, or would you have him as
I'm not wedded to this 4-2-3-1 business, but if you're going to play that, I think you need someone who is going to Rice gets forward, but you want someone who, when Rice goes forward, you'll have someone who can at least sort of anchor, for the record, I think Conor Gallagher could do the job, but he's not. He was crap against Brazil. He's not. He's, at least with Colby Maynou, you look at someone who go, right, there's some serious talent there, and he's the right sort of profile of a player. But again, I think you got left back, left centre back, and this position where there's question marks. But everywhere else, there is a player who every single national team in the world will go, fuck me, I want them.
Kai Osaka.
Grealish. Foden.
Foden would be my
Rashford
first start.
On his day.
You pay Foden left? Yeah.
James Madison.
I'd have Foden left.
I mean, Rashford on his day. When was the last time he was on his day?
Well,
when true. He was in England last year. Last
true. I agree. I'm skeptical about Rashford. But okay, but you say this, but like Jack Grealish, Phil Foden can play there.
Grealish can't get into the C team.
He's had injuries.
And would failing to trust him to go into a tournament.
Failing to get into the best football team.
Yeah, no, that's
in the
what
world
I said.
The
game,
Josko Guardiola can't get into the City team, and we all agree he's quality.
Jack, I mean, really, who is? He's got Doku, not sort of goes on and off, not great.
Doku, Alvarez, Haaland takes up a it's just another place that is used. So like I've no doubt that at some point
is £100 million signing who obviously yes he's in City and they have to play. He let's be honest, he really should be started.
Yeah,
I mean when he played last time, whenever he came on for England, despite the fact that he always came on far too late, whenever he came on, he was an instant impact kind of sub because of the caliber of the player he is, he invites people to tackle him, and on tired legs, he's the worst person to bring on towards defenders. And I think Southgate did really well last tournament to kind of utilize that. Start him in games where he can get obviously his run around, but in the more important games, not necessarily start him, bring him on, but he always brought him on quite late. And then as soon as he was on, it was an instant impact and he was a nightmare for defenders because for 70 minutes of the game, they're used to XYZ amount of player, whereas Grealish comes on who naturally invites defenders to come and get the ball, invites the foul and gets free kicks in crucial places, but then we didn't really do much with it because we didn't have... He's a 20-minute player, and then when we get the opportunities, half the players that can take a free kick are probably off on the bench.
He should be.
I've got a question for you, Dave. Which national teams can rival the depth that we have in attacking areas? I'm not talking about centre forward. I'm talking purely like the left wing, right wing slots. Name who they have.
Kingsley Coman, Ousmane Dembele.
Better than Foden or Grealish. Kingsley Coman.
I don't see Olden the Jack Grealish hype. I don't understand.
Fair enough. But okay, we'll take for the record. We'll take.
He's really good looking.
We can accept. Your take on Grealish. But like at the very least, there are people that rate him. I'm just talking like pure. Like we can talk about personal preferences all day. But fact of the matter is, we have 4 or 5 or 6 players. We haven't even mentioned James Maddison, Cole Palmer. All these players who are basically not going to get a look in because we have so much really good talent. And like, again, we had said Kingsley Coman. Who else?
Mbappe plays left wing, Dembele.
Yeah, but Mbappe would be star. He wouldn't be your...
Again, even if we accept, which at the moment I don't, that France is better, like I'm almost certain you won't find another nation that you can put names up against. Like Portugal have Rafael Leão,
Brazil,
Bernardo Silva, but again, better than ours or even like rivaling ours.
Rafinha, Martinelli, Vinicius Junior, Rodrigo. I mean, Rodrigo and Vinicius Junior are arguably the best team in the world. Madrid, Rodrigo, Vinicius Junior has been up there with stats. Rafinha probably not been great, but he probably would play second fiddle, I imagine, to Saka.
And then you're scraping. Then you're scraping like lower Europa League level like players at that point once you get past those names.
I mean those are two, three players out of two. I mean, Rafinha, Vinicius Junior on the left, you could play Rodrigo on the right. That's three good players.
And then we've got Harry Kane, Kai Osaka, Phil Foden there. And then beyond that,
probably talking about wings. I thought you were talking about wings, but
talking about beyond that. Beyond those dead set starters. So you're going to start Vinicius Junior, right?
Mm.
You're probably going to start Rodrigo.
Yeah.
Right? What have they got outside of that?
I think they've arguably got a better midfield.
No, as in terms of wingers and attacking. Depth.
Brazil.
Bruno Guimarães, Casemiro and Paqueta over I mean, they've got probably a bit more war balanced.
I say, if you look at the spine of our team, we have the best striker in the world. We've got the best midfielder currently in the world. We got, arguably, I could say, you could argue John Stones has been one of, if not the best defender in the world this season.
Yeah, I'm not saying we don't have quality, and I'm not saying we're not wealthy.
World-class players across the pitch.
World-class players across...
Kane, Saka, I'd say Foden.
I wouldn't Bellingham, say Saka's
world Declan class. Rice.
I wouldn't say Foden's world
John class. Stones.
John Stones.
Kyle Walker. Phenomenal.
Yeah, I would say Kane. I mean, obviously, I don't like to throw the word world class around willy nilly, but Kane could argue Bellingham's in class form. What would you say?
At this point, we're getting back into the conversation which we've had before about how do you define world-class, and everyone's got a subjective thing on it.
England have I never said we didn't have a very good team, but we obviously have weaknesses. And I admit we probably would be favourites, would be up there for the favourites to win stuff. But,
yeah, the thing, because I do get the scepticism in it, and we do need to be careful because obviously we just watch English players and we don't have a super massive knowledge about things everywhere else, but I just think the key thing for me is that I think we find ourselves in quite a weak generation of international teams. Like Germany, I know that you can pick out quality players in all of these teams I'm about to mention, but as I said, Germany are the worst they've been in my lifetime. Spain are the worst they've been in a decade, like since that, you know, team that won fucking everything a decade ago.
Italy struggled to qualify.
Italy, Holland, Belgium. I mean,
I'll tell you another team with decent, probably Portugal, but you
can I think Portugal and France are the two squads that you can look at and go, they have a chance, or they are at least in a conversation, at least in Europe. You could argue Argentina and Brazil or whatever, but I think those are the two in Europe that you go, you on paper can rival at the very least England, but you know, Portugal are managed by Roberto Martinez.
Ow. I don't get.
I think I mentioned this before. I was listening to Hazard talking on a podcast, and he said he is amazing. I could not say a nicer word about him. He's like, he's amazing. So I just don't see
it.
Is he
a winner? You can be a nice guy. Are you a winner? Look at what he did with Belgium's.
Look at what he did at Wigan first. That's exactly why he's a nice person. He's introduced everyone to a Wigan kebab.
Similar with Pochettino. I'm sure Pochettino is a wonderfully nice man, but
I think what Hazard was saying is it wasn't that he was nice, he was like, he's a genius kind of thing. Like, and again, I just haven't seen it at all. I'd say the same thing about Belgium have wasted their firstly on
worse than England.
Vilmots. Yeah, I suppose, but then their furthest point, you know, prior to the same sort of to considering like their golden generation and the size of Belgium, they got to World Cup semi final, and by the way, beat us in the third and fourth place playoff, beat us twice in that tournament. And I don't think they're for me, England are very good. The quality is not necessarily unrivaled, but barely rivaled. And that's the key for me, is the fact that everyone else is a little bit weak. And if we don't take advantage, like I was convinced prior to these two international fixtures, I was convinced we were going to win the Euros. I was like, I just can't see anyone.
Oh shit.
Stopping us. But now I think there's just I wouldn't, it's unfair to call it a Southgate-y thing, but I think there's like just a bit of an England thing now where we'll just find a way to screw it up. But I think that should be viewed as big a missed opportunity as the previous golden generation.
Who do you think will win it? Because I think Germany. Maybe,
Yeah, well, they look good. They look since Nagelsmann's come in, they look all right. But this is what I mean. It sort of opens itself up to who has the best manager, who has a manager who knows what the fuck he's doing, and you can get the best of. Portugal might have all the best players in the world. England might have all the best players as well. But if they got crap managers at the helm, or not great managers at the helm, then someone like Nagelsmann, whose best player is Kai Havertz, can go in, or you know, Florian Wirtz, whatever, can go in. Can go in sort of, like, that's how ridiculous the situation is that.
He's one of us. Don't you dare talk dirty.
Sorry, about Timo Werner as well. He's the other big player.
Hey.
Timo.
You Turbo leave Timo. Timo's been good.
I like this Timo. This might be a little another insight into when we get into the Wonder Kids, but Florian Wirtz, my God, does he look good?
You've got the... No, I was going to make a joke, but it's not going to work. I was going to say he's got the verts at his feet, but that just doesn't quite.
Do you think so? Ashton Rowe, do you guys think he will win the Euros?
I do.
I want to be optimistic, but I feel like I am conditioned to think we will be our own worst enemy and we will fail.
So you agree with Harry that we'll England it up one way, shape or form? Do you guys think Maynard will go to the Euros?
Yeah, he'll go. I don't think he would have taken him now if he wasn't planning on taking him to the Euro. Yeah.
Calvin Phillips and Hendo.
Calvin Phillips is crap.
Definitely not.
And Hendo is he's not getting it looking anymore. Hendo's unpopular now. Finally, it's happened.
Henderson is there because he's loud in training.
Yeah, I think he'll go just for the sort of experience. But again,
moral support.
With that stacked, that he might not go. But yeah, I think Kobbie Rainey will certainly go. I wouldn't be surprised. There's only two more games.
Give him a coaching role and take a decent player.
Give him the Beckham 2010 role.
Yeah.
can we not do that to Southgate and actually get a manager in that knows how to play football?
Tommy Tuchel.
Pep, you're free for a month.
Tommy Tuchel.
Like, Southgate.
I would love it so much.
England manager.
Yeah.
There's rumours Jose's after it, by the way.
I would love it if
Tommy Tuchel was in.
I think keep Southgate, keep the morale and the kind of atmosphere high.
Because it's really top at the moment.
No, but I mean, like, everything he's done.
The harmony, yeah.
Yeah, because imagine Tuchel coming in. Tuchel would demolish that within a millisecond.
Yeah.
Southgate should be in the FA. Turn into a prisoner of war camp.
Jose would just not call Shaw up ever again.
That's still fair.
Yeah.
He'd play Saka as a wing back.
Off topic
wing backs.
Off topic question. If Dele Alli ever gets fit again, could we see him in an England shirt again at some point in his career?
I think it's a shame with Dele Alli because I think Everton want to play him, but they're not in a position to be able to play him because of the way the deal was structured with Tottenham, such that it's appearance based. So every X amount of appearances, they pay Tottenham 10 million. So they've asked if they can push that back, and we said no.
Who's going to play a game first, Dele Alli or Fofana?
Probably Dele Alli.
These are the questions that keep us up at night.
these are the unanswerable questions of football.
It's basically...
these are the wonders of the world.
It's not a dead pool, it's an injury pool. Who's gonna play first? Who's going to recover quicker?
I feel so bad for Dele Alli, obviously. Maybe Tottenham bias, but I do feel really bad.
He definitely does need more, obviously, game time when he's fully fit and ready to. But yeah,
he's done now. He's not coming back.
I don't know. I think he's not got the. I think there's some unfinished business.
I thought that when he moved to Everton, but I don't think he's got the motivation for it.
Yeah, he doesn't.
I didn't think that would have moved through it. And I thought, if anything, he'll probably get it at some point. And it might not be Everton.
It's been like 4 years. Like, if it had been like a couple of years, I might be like, you know, fair enough. But it's been like 4 years since he was good. Like, he's done.
We'll see.
Thanks very much for joining us. I've been Harry Brent from Daily Star Sport. We'll see you next time. Bye bye.